to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, once again broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon, friends, and we're, of course, all looking forward to the tape message today from Grace Hour, host of the broadcast for many, many years, the founder of the broadcast, Pastor Stevens. And today's message is entitled, Living in the Anointing with the Body, and fits perfectly into our theme this week, which is the principle of God's anointing. And again, we'll be joining you listening to that message in just a couple of moments. But before we get to his message today, we do want to remind you that following his message, we will open the phone lines, the opportunity for you to participate, join us live on the phone with your comments and questions, testimonies, and counseling needs. We hope that many of you will do just that. And we hope that the message that you're about to hear will just stimulate some of those comments and questions as well. Again, when the phone lines are open, dial one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that 800 number is 800-338-7060. Once again, 800-338-7060 in the continental United States, also in Canada. You can join us live on that toll-free number. And for everyone else, you can dial 410-483-3700. I want to welcome our local listening audience right here in the Baltimore area on WRBS. And a quick reminder to all of our dear friends that listen to us on our local station here in Baltimore that just have a little less than a couple of, well, a little bit more than a couple of weeks before we sign off on WRBS. Our final broadcast will be Friday, February 25th. And again, we're really encouraging all of you to find a way to transition over to the internet at gracehour.org or Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We're just excited to be able to make this transition. We're going to be talking also about all of the many different platforms that you'll be able to now find the Grace Hour on live, and we'll share those with you in the coming hours and days. So again, those of you on WRBS, make your plans now to continue to join us live. Again, Friday, February 25th will be our final broadcast here on WRBS on your AM dial. We certainly do appreciate the great relationship and the history that we've had with WRBS. And again, we're excited about moving into the future. And we know that God is going to continue to bless the broadcast as he has for several decades already. So welcome to everyone listening live on the internet at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. So good to be with all of you. And, you know, whenever you think of the anointing, perhaps you've heard a message, and after hearing and listening to the message, you think to yourself, wow, that touched my soul. That penetrated my heart. But what in essence are we really saying when we make those kinds of statements? That message was anointed. Kind of like hearing someone share a song, a hymn, get up at a church service and minister to the body of Christ through their gifts that way. Oftentimes you'll stop and just say, that really touched my heart. Why? Because of the anointing. So today's message, fitting beautifully into our theme for this week, is entitled Living in the Anointing with the Body of Christ.
Leviticus 14, the 15th verse says, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand and shall sprinkle of the oil with the finger seven times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in the hand shall the priest put upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot, and upon the blood of the trespass offering. The 26th verse says, and the priest shall pour the oil in the palm of his own left hand, and shall sprinkle with his right finger the oil that's in his left hand 7 times before the Lord. Here it is again. So we have the sprinkling and the anointing of the oil. Psalm 23:5b says, he anointeth my head with oil. Now, turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 12. There they made a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him after his resurrection. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone, against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor you will have always with you, but me you have not always. And in Matthew 26, they called it a waste. Every message and every gathering of God's people is a revelation of a most important truth. It is a revelation of God's true people that will be His people forever. And it's a process of separating those that ultimately will not be His true people. Every service is another chapter in the book revealing a truth and revealing reality. Every single week, God's true people, no matter where they're at, are being drawn closer to Jesus Christ. And the only way on this earth that you can be drawn closer to Jesus Christ is to get closer to His body. Or they go through the stagnant consistency of enjoying Christianity on their own values and on their own terms while they acknowledge truth and enjoy some of the truth that they acknowledge. There are two kinds of believers in this audience tonight, and then there's three kinds of people. And this will be true in any assembly meeting in all the world. It is true in every facet of this ministry. There are those who the redemption call of love called, and they responded and got saved. And then the love of God continued to call them into the very body, which is the purpose for which they were saved. Two things. The call to be saved, then the purpose for which we are saved, the body of Jesus Christ. The manifestation of the miraculous habitation of the Holy Spirit in the body is the very purpose that we are saved. Now, the two kinds of Christians in this beautiful auditorium tonight are these two kinds. There's one kind that has been called by God, and they have come here, and they have been persuaded about something, that no matter whatever happens to their life or to the circumstances while they are here, they will forevermore be true to the body of Jesus Christ and enter into the purpose for which they were saved. You were not saved to win souls. You were not saved to be a great prayer warrior. You were not saved for these reasons. You were saved to get hit in the body, which in turn would do those things. You were not saved to have a ministry. You were saved to be a part of God's body, which would be God's ministry. Now, with this in mind, it's interesting, even in the introductions of a service, how detailed God would have our hearts be, how sensitive God would want us to enter into the spirit of the body's meeting. How tender and how delicate our heart must be toward Christ. How deep within the depth of our human soul we must be available to what Jesus Christ is thinking and to what His body is going to enter into for worship and praise and its provision. These things ultimately and progressively reveal Rather, we are sealed and established in 2 Corinthians 1:21 with the anointing which God has given us in the earnest of the Holy Spirit or the presence of His life. Now, true people of God, no matter what spiritual stage they are at, for some reason, always enter into a love that is inseparable. A love that always knows, without one single mental attitude, exactly what the anointing is all about, even though one may not have had the privilege to experience the beautiful multiple blessings of that anointing. The Bible says very clearly that the priests would put the oil on their left hand, in the palm of it. Then the right hand would take the oil and put it on the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe and do the same with the blood. And the oil would be placed into the palm of the hand 7 times before the Lord. Now, no matter what happened to that congregation, it was imperative that the priests be anointed with oil. The priest must be anointed with oil. The priest must anoint with oil those that would be cleansed. And those that would be cleansed must be anointed with oil in 3 places. Mary took the spikenard and broke the box and poured it on the feet of the Master. And the disciples in Matthew 26 said that it was a waste. It was a waste. Her anointing to the Master was legitimately and logically considered to be a waste. But the motives were not pure. Now, why did they call it a waste? Because they didn't have an anointing to anoint Jesus with. Why do people's minds go back into their Egypt, whatever their Egypt was like? Because they don't have the anointing of God that's in Canaan. Now, they may know about Canaan. They may love the principles of Canaan. And they may love us, the people of Canaan. But they do not have the anointing of Canaan. And therefore, they want to go back to the old homesteads and just coexist as good Christians until they die and do their thing while they don't do anybody any harm. These people have not been anointed. They have not been anointed. In the sense that I'm talking about an anointing tonight. And the very things that are so precious and sacred, they do not understand. They do not understand that we are here and we go morning to night and morning to night and morning to night because we have an anointing. And that anointing has one purpose upon its gift from God. And that purpose is to cleanse people, to save people, to deliver people. You could go back to your home tonight and it wouldn't be necessarily wrong and live by your home and get your regular jobs and just bring up your family in your regular old-fashioned ways tonight. But when the midnight hour comes, you haven't lived a bad life. It's just you haven't lived an anointed life. You haven't lived a wrong life. But you haven't lived a discipleship life. You haven't lived the best life, which is the body life. And the anointing of Jesus Christ was upon the body. The ear, the thumb, and the toe. The body of man. His hearing, his serving, and his walking. The reason that you get offended is because your life isn't anointed as the body. I hope you got that. When your life has been anointed and your hearing is anointed and your service is anointed and your walk is anointed, there is nothing under God's heaven that can make you offended. There is nothing that makes you feel less than love. There is not a single thing that makes you feel less than one. But if you're not one, there's not any sentimental thing we can do to make you one. We can give in to you. We can overlook your constant reactions. We can overlook your countenance, which is negative. But unless you're anointed, we can't change your attitude. And you've got to be anointed as the body to function for the body. Now then, Psalm 23:5, the psalmist said, He anointeth my head with oil. And that's beautiful. David said, he anointeth my mind with his oil. What does it mean to have your head anointed with oil? One of the most important things that I could beseech you for tonight, without any self-effort on your part, is to be established in the anointing. Lost in the anointing. Hid in the anointing. And manifest the anointing. Now you think with me. There is no way that all the natural power of your life or my life can be dispelled if it was not for the anointing. That is why the priests had to do that. Do you notice where they put the oil? In their left hand. In their left hand. And they applied it with their right hand. The left hand always speaks of man's response to God's right hand, his finished work. The right hand speaks of his finished work where he's seated and where his left hand. The oil has to be in the left hand to give out to others for the anointing. But it has to be applied by the right hand. In other words, the body is God's anointing. But the finished work of Christ must supply what the body is. And it has to be seven times before the Lord. A faith rest sealing. The sealing of faith rest. It's interesting in James 5:14. If any are sick among you, if any man be afflicted, let him call the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. Another very significant portion on the importance of anointings. If he's afflicted, if he's sick, let them anoint with oil. Because the anointing with oil, like communion is when we partake of the bread and the blood and the wine. Like what it is when we eat the wafers, it's a picture of those in authority, just like the priests, being able to anoint with the anointing of the Spirit to get people healed and to get people forgiven through the anointing because it's a cleansing agency of God's power. No wonder that Paul said that not a single thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The reason that some people come here and everything they say is touched, their whole attitude, their whole countenance, their whole cooperation, their whole attitude toward Jesus, is they submit to the anointing, they receive the anointing, and then they minister in the anointing. And that's how it goes. When Solomon, in 1 Chronicles 22, was anointed by David to be the master builder of the temple. And through the master builder Solomon, some would be woodcutters, some would be stone cutters, and all kinds of people were gifted in their gift through the anointed of Solomon who got it from David. When King Saul was to be king, he must be anointed by Samuel. It is most important, Saul, if you're going to be king, that you receive Samuel's anointing, who I have delegated to be my prophet. He will anoint you, and from that point on, no matter what you do, Saul, you are God's anointed. But you'd better use it properly. It is a gift that has sealed you with the authority of love and the power of application. And every single man of God that ever came on the horizon of God's army always had to be anointed. And so when anyone's afflicted or sick, let them call the elders and let the elders anoint. That means let them delegate with application the anointing of their power and authority that they have and lay it on somebody for healing. Because they are the elders, the presbyters, that have that delegated authority that can pass it on to others who in turn submit and then they have it too. Nobody in the body ever has an anointing that he didn't receive. No man of God ever has an anointing that God didn't give for the purpose of anointing others and so that he can be anointed. May I say this lovingly to you? You see, my heart is of such a nature. I love anointings. I'm very sensitive to them. I know when a carefree anointing comes and why it's there. I know when a loud penetrating anointing comes, it seems almost crude, but there's a purpose for it. I know when a tender anointing comes. I know when a worshiping anointing comes. But I want to say this. When the Bible says you forsake much more because you see the day approaching, when the Bible teaches that in Hebrews 10:25, it is teaching us this. Every opportunity that you get before God, you be where there's going to be anointing for that hour of your life. For that hour that, if it's possible, if it indeed is possible, you be where. Why? Because God takes away the burden from the shoulder, and God destroys the yoke, and all because of the anointing. And the more you hear it, the more you learn. The more you hear it, the more you're delivered. The more you hear it, the greater capacity. The more you hear it, the more sensitivity. The more you hear it, the more discernment that you'll have. The more you hear it, the more like Jesus you become. The more you hear it, the more you'll hate the world. The more you hear it, the more you'll hate sin. The more you hear it, the more you will not be ever carnal. The more you learn, the more you'll walk in Christ. All because the anointing breaks the yoke and takes the burden from your shoulder and destroys the burden. And you become one with God's men and one with God's people and one with God's leaders and one with God's decision and one with the body's response and one with the body's vision and one with the body's heartbeat and one with everything the body does. Tomorrow morning is not Monday morning. Tomorrow morning is an eternal morning that you must be anointed with tenderness, with meekness, with faith, with diligence, with stewardship, with holiness, with spiritual phenomena and spiritual manner. I cannot even begin to tell you how vital, husbands, for you to bring an anointing in your headship. I could weep at your feet saying, be anointed. Be anointed. I can't even begin to tell you, ladies, how valuable it is not to live in your quick reactions, not to do things that would take away from the presence of God, but to live quietly, tenderly, with all the beauty of your womanhood, as a woman of God that's living and breathing in God's anointing. Teenagers, I couldn't even begin to describe to you the importance of this year in your life. I couldn't even begin to tell you what a difference it'll make this week if you sense God, if you live Christ, if you obey God's word. If you let an anointing rest upon your young and tender hearts and let God keep you pure and free from the world and honoring the ministry and its teachers and your parents and your studies and your work, God takes the burden off your shoulders and destroys the yoke. Because anointing, can I say this? You'll not change here if you don't receive the anointing. You'll not make it here as beautiful as it is. There are two kids tonight, or at last that I knew, that sat in these seats last year. And I'm not going to say what they're doing tonight. They're on drugs. They're young. They're in their teens. They're living in unclean fornication and letting their bodies probably go for drugs. And they sat here all last year, but they never received the anointing. They found somebody that liked rock music walking up the sidewalk. They found somebody that would go in the woods and smoke. They found somebody that would pass a note in the classroom and have that note be suggestive and filthy. They found somebody that joined them in disliking God and putting nails in the tender hands of Jesus Christ again and again and again with disobedience. They didn't receive the anointing. How do you live in anointing? I'll tell you how. When the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My heart begins to envelop that verse. And I let it touch my mind and establish my mind. Thus I receive the anointing of that verse. When the Bible says, that I'll love thee with an everlasting love in every single trial and circumstance. I receive the spirit of that love. That means the Spirit has made that word to me mine, and I'm anointed. When the Bible says to be steadfast and immovable, and we're steadfast and we're immovable, and we don't quit, and we don't think of quitting, and we don't plan to quit, and we're not going to go home and pack our little bags and go back to Egypt. When that happens and we love what God has called us into, and we thank God for the challenge of it and the privilege and adventure of our faith, and we will go forward no matter what happens, that means that we've received the Word with reverence. We've received the Spirit with fear, and the right kind of fear, a healthy fear. We've received the messages with honor. That means that we count it a privilege to be alive and to be here and to be a part of God's people and a part of God's family and a part of God's fruit. It means that we look into the heart of Jesus Christ and look into the eyes of one another and walk forward with the greatest thing on the earth today. And that is an anointing where we will not be separated by death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, by idle talk, by slothfulness, for time on our hands, by hard work, by discipline, by worldly factions that would try to invade the inner part of our soul that has the tender creative capacity to experience God in reality. That means that our anointing means more than our earthly dreams, that our anointing means more than our temporal comfort, that our anointing means more than all that we go through. It is powerful. It is of God, and it draws us and builds us up and edifies us and ministers to us. Why? Because it's God's power on our lives. It's God's touch on our soul. It's God's Spirit in our hearts. It's God's person in our spirit. And because of this, we live and know what it means to receive it from those over us and then to minister it to those around us. And we begin to share it and then give it the beautiful anointing of God.
Well, that's the conclusion of today's message, friends. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did listening to it here in our studios. That brings us right up to the end of the first half hour of today's Grace Hour broadcast, friends. But I hope that you would like to join us as the phone lines are open and we're ready to take your calls and we can continue to talk about this great message, living in the anointing of God together with the body of Christ. Stay right there, friends. We'll be right back. And we're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Thank you so much for staying with us, friends. Again, what a great message we just listened to on the power of the anointing. And just that last statement, what is the anointing? It is God's power on our lives. It is His touch on our souls. It is the beautiful anointing of God. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Thursday afternoon. We're in the second half of our broadcast, which means the phone lines are open right now. A great opportunity for you to join us live. Just pick up that phone and share with us right here, live on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, the anointing of God, God's power on our lives. We do want to mention, friends, that the Grace Hour is now available on the following platforms: on the Apple Broadcast, Google Broadcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and Stitcher, as well as Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and of course on the internet at gracehour.org. So many different opportunities, many different platforms available to you, our listeners, so that you can join us for each and every one of our live broadcasts that happen from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So Ron is joining us up in New Jersey, not driving that limousine today in New York City, but home in Elmwood Park, New Jersey, watching. And thanks, Ron, for reaching out to us. Great to know that you're listening on the road and when you're off the road. Julie also, and Julie has requested prayer for her husband, Russell, going through a very, very challenging time in his life. He's being hospitalized at the present time, and really she's asking for the prayers of the body of Christ to really speak to his heart and make a difference in his life. So, Father, we pray for Russell. You know, he's been challenged physically and emotionally, mentally now for quite some time. And we pray that there'd be a breakthrough, Lord. We pray supernaturally that you would just reach his soul, Lord, and break the yoke of bondage and deliver him supernaturally by your grace and establish his heart in your love and grace. May the anointing make the difference in his life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Diane has reached out to us and said, amen. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Powerful, powerful message. Couldn't agree more with you. It was a great message, Pastor Shallow, that we listened to. There's just so many thoughts that we could, you know, reiterate, magnify, continue to talk about. I love a couple of these statements. One, the anointing exists to cleanse and deliver God's people. And he said after that, you could just live, you know, your old life if you wanted to, but you have the opportunity to live in the anointing, a life of discipleship, and that can make all the difference in people's lives.
I think, Pastor Love, when you have been in a situation and maybe everything is common, the street you stand on, the people you are talking to, your daily duties, your activity, and then it seems like you could just step into a situation where God is there and he uses you, and you are so refreshed by what happens that you, you know, we could say, let's say you talk to somebody at the bus stop and suddenly you realize, oh, like God is with my mouth, or this is a divine appointment, or the anointing of God is here. You know, this can happen in our lives and has happened. Can you tell us a story about that happening for you?
Yeah, I think, as you said, it can happen under any and a lot of different circumstances, but when it happens, and maybe we're not even conscious of it, but it's the Spirit's work, it's the Spirit's ministry. But let's say, for instance, you're sharing some thoughts with someone, and then after the fact, they come to you and they say, I just need you to know I was particularly delivered when you shared those thoughts that you shared. I got an email yesterday. We have this Zoom Bible study with the employees at Johns Hopkins at the university, and it was 2 weeks ago we shared a message, and yesterday after we met again, she sent an email and said, I just want you to know that, you know, there's been a real change in my life. That last message, you talked about Jesus, you know, at the pool of Bethesda and healing a man in his condition 38 years. What he said to him was, you know, take up your bed, take up your mat, and walk. Yes. He said, that, you know, the essence of that message you shared that day, she says, I've done that, and I'm delivered. And I think that's how the anointing works. I wasn't even aware of it. We were just sharing God's thoughts, but, of course, praying that God would use those thoughts to touch people's lives.
And talking about it in the message and then talking about today is just alerting us to the reality of it and maybe helping us minister, because this is really ordained of God. We read it in, many places in the Bible, when Christ, his name, Christ, means the anointed one. And how many divine appointments did he have? And then we see the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts and the Apostle Peter and their movements. And we see women and young boys. We see people operating in such a way that they could say, you know, when you lie down at night, you might look back at your day and say, you know, one particular thing may really, really stick out. And you might say, wow, I think maybe God was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I love the statement he made. You know, we can all relate to this. He says, you know, maybe you haven't lived a bad life, but have you lived an anointed life. There's a world of, you know, because some people could make an evaluation of their lives and say, you know, it's been a, I've lived a good life.
Yes.
But is it anointed?
Yes.
And I think when we understand the nature of the anointing, we know how valuable it is. We know how much we need that. If our ministry, if our life, if our walk, if our hearing, if our communication is going to impact others.
And then I know in the class tonight we have foundations, and the message is about the value of the church life, how Satan would like to alienate believers from a healthy church life. And we have found a healthy church life and recognize how much it helps us. It encourages us, how much our friends mean to us, how we laugh and talk and interact. And then we have behind it the real sense that this is that God has ordained a blessing. He has ordained he has really honored us crowned us with glory and honor. And this is because he is glorified, that Christ is seen in the midst of a group of people that are loving each other.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, the phone lines are open. We would certainly welcome your calls, friends. This is a great time to go to your phones. We dedicate the second half of our broadcast to your phone calls. So please pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. And the local number is 410-483-3700.
In Numbers 7, verse 1, came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it. You know, the anointing is separate from, you know, things that are just left to being normal. But it's a sanctification. It's an anointing is on that spoon, that vessel, on that tent, that tabernacle, on that sacrifice, on that priest. You know, the Spirit touching us and using us, offering up our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, I would like to say it's so easy without the Spirit of God anointing us to feel anxiety, to worry. It's so easy for my sin nature to dominate in my life. It's so easy for me to develop sinful habits and fashion myself according to the lusts that are in my heart and in the world. So gird up the loins of your mind, walk in faith and trust that God will fill you with the Spirit, and that the anointing, I liked what he said, that the anointing in the pulpit ministry, the anointing in the congregation, the sense of God in our fellowship, this is really setting us apart from the world.
Amen. We have a prayer request sent to us from our dear brother, Arash Ishmanian. He says, please pray for my stomach, overall health. He does not know what's been going on lately. He needs God. He says, the doctors have no answers. Well, Father, we want to pray for our dear brother, Arash Ishmanian. And he has been under the care of doctors now for some time, and they cannot have an accurate diagnosis. So we're turning to you, the great physician, Father, and we're praying that, you know, that there'd be a breakthrough here, that there'd be an anointing for his health, and that you would reveal exactly, precisely what the problem is, and that he would just, again, get on the road to healing. He is a dear brother, greatly loved and respected, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Please, God, touch him, heal him. In Jesus' name, amen. He's just a dear brother who functions in our Christian day school as a teacher, a staff member, part of the administration, and Boy, he's just a blessing right across the board, isn't
very
he?
Very gifted.
I mean, he comes to Camp Life every year and just is a ball of fun and just loves the young people.
He's so knowledgeable. He's so disciplined, so focused, so wise. What a good counselor. Helping raise his grandson and his family. And, wow, amazing guy.
Yeah.
Really, really. I'd like to be like him when I grow up.
Me too. Me too. What a dear servant.
He is.
Keep him in your prayers.
Yeah, exceptional person.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, those phone lines, they're empty. We're looking forward to having you. We thought that this kind of a message would stir your hearts and make you want to pick up that phone and say, this is the part of the message that touched me, spoke to me. You know, as he spoke about Mary in John's Gospel, chapter 12, you know, taking that very expensive box of ointment and poured it out on the feet of Jesus. And the disciples, you know, in particular, no doubt Judas, said, you know, why this waste? Pastor Scheller, has there ever been a time where someone said, as you began to follow after the Lord and discipleship was your goal and objective, that somebody said, hey, you know, why are you wasting your life doing that? You could be doing this, or you could be doing that, or you could have a career over here. You could make a lot of money. I mean, sometimes when you pour out your life on Christ, in the eyes of those that don't understand who he truly is, they think it's a waste.
You know, D.L. Moody was a very poor farm boy, born in 1837 up in Massachusetts. His father died when I think he was four as an alcoholic, and D.L. Moody grew up on a farm with his mother, and a very tough life. Then he broke off, went to Boston, worked in a shoe store where he got saved, and then he took a train out to Chicago, and he started up his new life out there, and he was making a lot of money. He was very ambitious, very hardworking, very domineering, outgoing, extroverted guy. Physically a big guy, 250 pounds, and 5'10". And, you know, he made a decision not to go after the money, but to go after God. He was working for the YMCA. He slept on a pew. He slept in the YMCA. But he had made money, $5,000 in a short period of time, on commissions, and they say, I mean, one of his writer, the historian or the biographer, that he would undoubtedly become a very rich man, but he turned away from it. You know, there are people that say, I want to make money, then I'll give it to missions, or I want to build a business. But that maybe is the easy thing. The harder thing is to give up everything and forsake it all. And to follow Jesus with all your heart. He did it. He ended up with everything, millions of souls, a lot of people. I believe it was a million souls, but he preached to millions of souls. I think it was 100 million people he preached to. I mean, he did an amazing job, and he led a million to Christ. So he crossed the Atlantic a number of times. He preaching in England. He had a Bible school, big congregation, a lot of children, cared about orphans. He did a great job. My point is that, yes, people could say you've wasted your life, but there's another side to it, and that is what does God want to do? And God needs people that are surrendered to him. And if we could believe him for that, and we've done that, we believe God for that, and not going into any of this ministry anyway for our own advantage, but at the cross we surrender it all, and then we follow, and some people might say that's a waste, but that's up for God. That's up to God to decide what the results are.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to the phones. I think we might have had some technical problems, but we're up and running here, friends. So pick up that phone and give us a call. We're joining Pastor Bruce Moon from, I believe, Mexico City. Pastor Moon, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I was thinking, what this amazing message Pastor preached. Wow. Oh, my gosh. But the thing about the two believers sitting in the church at the same time and the difference between them, and I remember Pastor often preaching about how the cross divides us. And the cross, you know, Matthew 26, Jesus said, you can't follow me unless you take up your cross, deny yourself. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And I think that has to do with the anointing also. But he who tries to save his life will lose it. And I think some people come to church or try to come to God, but they're just looking for solutions to their own problems and their own lives. And their focus is really on themselves. And they'd never die to themselves. And you know, I think the secret to the real Christian life, the anointing, is the anointing. And the secret to the anointing is dying to yourself. And you know, it's like you say, okay, I have all these problems and things, but I'm just not going to be occupied with that anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's about him and his great message, the amazing message of the gospel, and make my life about that. And there's also a promise about that in Matthew 6:33, that if I will focus on that, I'll find my life, and these things will be added unto me kind of like just naturally. And I was thinking also about the priests in Leviticus. You know, when they receive anointing, or they anointed it also, but they also offered a sacrifice for themselves, a bull. And what they would do is put their hands on it, and they would lean on it, and that signified transference of their sins and sin nature to the offering. And then they would sacrifice, and meaning death again, death to self. And then, you know, the anointing would be together with that. So, like, anointing comes with death to self is my main point, what I'm trying to say. And I'm not just talking theoretically. I know I've experienced that. I know many people listening have experienced that, you know, and the anointing that Pastor also mentioned in John 12, is spikenard and Mary, was also for his burial. In other words, it was related to the cross.
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. Did you finish?
Yes.
It was very good. It was very good what you said. It reminds me of Psalm 73, when, you know, my flesh and my heart faileth, God is the strength of my heart and my portion. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. You have destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. When you said, Pastor, that it's so common that we would relate to life based on our problems or our fears or our anxieties and not come to the cross. So could you describe a little more about what it means to go to the cross?
Well, I would say, let me give it like a practical example, very, very common in ministry or church. Okay, a couple come to you with a marriage problem, or one of them comes to you sometimes, you know, marriage problem. And, you know, their focus is on themselves, their pain, their marriage, and they want to get it right. And it's not a bad thing. Like Jesus said, you know, living a good life is okay. But sometimes I find myself saying to them, what if this is a good thing? What if these problems actually bring you to realize that your life is not about here and now, and it's not about even your marriage. It's really about eternity. And how about you just give all these problems and give it to the Lord, and you live for Christ and not worry about the problems in your marriage? And that's kind of like dying to yourself, you know, making it about Jesus and not yourself. Not this life, And, you know, he said it very well, like, wow, that message. You know, the two people in church, like, you know, there's three realms in life. And the book of Leviticus teaches us there's the good. God made the creation good. And some people just want a good life, you know, and they want God to kind of help them with a good life. But God's already given them a good life. But there's no anointing in that good life until we consecrate it. That's what I do with the book of Leviticus. Everything gets consecrated. Then it goes into the eternal. It goes into the holy, what's really holy, where the anointing is right there. It's not in the good part of life. And then, of course, you can take the good and contaminate, and that means sin. So there's the three areas of life there, not two, like Augustine taught.
Good thoughts, Pastor Moon. We appreciate that. Again, the cross, I think some people might say, well, how is there an anointing with the cross? But remember, Christ is the anointed one, and he went to the cross. And it was him laying down his life that has produced life for us. So that principle that you brought out, seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Lose it, willingly give it up, you'll find it. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life. What has it produced in our lives? Eternal life, mm-hmm. blessing, fruitfulness, meaning, purpose. That list could go on and on. So that's the anointing. That's the essence of the anointing.
You know, I like what Pastor Bruce said, that married couple comes for marriage counseling, and what's on their mind is their problem. I mean, it's so obvious. Of course it is. And for you to say, no, we're not here to talk about your problem or solve your problem. We're here to talk about God. And like they fall over in their chair. I mean, they don't have a clue. They don't think about that. They don't know what you're talking about. It's like they might say, get up out of their chairs and say, okay, thank you very much. And go out down and see the psychologist down the street, you know. Like, it's so real. It's so true. But maybe we would say, long before I have the marriage problem, why don't I get geared to, adjusted to the ministry of God in the body of Christ, in the Bible, and relate to God long before I have those problems in life? Because they will be there. They will be marriage, it'll be financial, there'll be health issues. Long before, like, have enough sense to say to yourself in your heart, life is a jungle. There's lions and bears out there. One day I'm going to run into one of them, and I need to get ready and get prepared, gird up the loins of my mind, right? And not be fashioned to the world. And go run. Now, is it wrong to run to God or to a man of God to get a solution to a problem? No, that's not wrong. But, you know, we better get a grip here. The man of God is there for me to learn about Christ and grow in Christ when things are good, when I don't really have a problem like that. I should grow in him and learn of him, because we are anointed to do that.
Yeah. I can see, you know, the couple coming in for the counseling and the preacher saying, you need God. And it's like, I don't think you heard what our problems are.
Yeah.
But maybe we could say it, you know, here's a parallel to that. You know, we say, you know, God, I need patience. And God says, fine, I'll send tribulation. We'd be like, no, I didn't ask for that. But he would say, tribulation works patience.
Yes.
God's ways are not our ways, are they?
Yes. Right.
Pastor Moon, thank you.
Yeah.
You bet.
God bless you.
I want to stay on there just for another minute. We're almost done here. But let's see. I have a problem. A child, a couple could say, a mom or dad, you know, I have my son or my daughter is struggling with their sexual identity. I have a problem, and we would say, you need God, you know. Okay, well, that's true, but we, of course, are very understanding and compassionate, and we care, and we want to give advice and help. But again, they could be floored by hearing a comment like that. They don't have they don't understand what you mean. Of course I believe in God. Of course I pray to God. Of course. And we say, yeah, I don't doubt that. You are a believer. I appreciate it. I agree with you. I will pray with you. I'm holding your arms up. I want to tackle your problem. But could we also, like really bring the whole thing, everything, your whole life, your mind, your heart, everything before God, and anticipate, like Psalm 62:5, my expectation is God. As Psalm 73, none do I have in heaven but only you, none upon earth but only you. So is that true, that there really is God? And doesn't it say in Hebrews 13 that we don't covet because God has said to us that I am your helper?
Wow. Yes. it sounds so simplistic, you know?
Yeah.
You know, imagine.
Even maybe offensive to someone.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
like, you're not listening to me. You have not heard my problems. But there's only one answer for our problems. It's God.
Yes.
And
when we say that, we say the Almighty God, the God of patience, of grace, the God who hears, the God that cares, the God that upholds us, the God that gives us peace. So let's say my child has a sexual identity problem, and you know what I need? I need a lot of peace. I need wisdom. I need to wait on God. I need God to really be my God, because this thing bothers me. It bothers me deeply. I am troubled by it. I don't know how to handle it. And so let's talk about the local assembly. Let's talk about the meditation. Let's talk about quietness. Let's talk about love.
Amen. Let's keep talking about those things, friends. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition. Join us then.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.